What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
I shot Mr. Thompson in Manhattan and he died. Those are Luigi Mangione's words. He said them in a federal courtroom in front of Brian Thompson's widow without a plea deal. No agreement with prosecutors, no promises, no arrangement, no nothing. The judge confirmed it. Mangione confirmed it. He described tracking Thompson to an investor conference, calling United Healthcare, pretending to be an investor, gathering details about who'd be there. Then he printed a gun on a 3D printer, attached a silencer, and traveled to New York to kill a man he'd never met. He expressed no remorse. Prosecutors told the court they had overwhelming evidence, including DNA and fingerprints from the scene. Mangione referenced his broken back and the health insurance system. He never mentioned Brian Thompson as a person, just the man he'd shot. Paulette Thompson sat in the front row. She leaned forward to watch Mangione answer the judge's questions. When prosecutors outlined the evidence, she wiped away tears. The man who killed her husband described it the way you describe a delivery route. He did it in prison fatigues, not the business suit he'd worn to every previous hearing. 20 months after the most publicized killing in the country, the revolution ended in a courtroom. The question is what it accomplished and who's paying for it. Luigi Mangione is not who the internet decided he was. He's a 28-year-old from a wealthy Maryland family with a degree from the University of Pennsylvania. He was handed a silver spoon. He was given every opportunity and he shit it all away. Because he thought he was too smart, too innovative, too much of a trailblazer. Too grandiose and narcissistic is really what he was. And look, I got nothing good to say about the healthcare industry. It's a steaming pile of shit. Insurance companies are shit. Healthcare companies are shit. Do they provide care? Do they do things? Are we in a state where we can be cared for in ways that we never have before? Yes, without a doubt. Are we in a state where it is luck and monetary influence that has everything to do with the level of care in which you get or won't get? Yes, we are too. And is there anything that is in place that's correcting this off-the-rails cart that's flying off the cliff as we speak for millions of people interacting with the healthcare system? No, there's not. There's a lot of chaos and craziness and people thinking they're doing shit by gunning down people outside of conferences in New York City. That, by the way, doesn't fix anything. Gets attention to a place that we already have a lot of attention and a lot of issues. But you know what? You know how this shit changes? It's not by assassinating people in the street. It's by paying attention to who you're voting for. And unfortunately, a lot of people have been voting against their own self-interest for quite some time. Hence why we're where we're at today, because you've been electing people that are A-okay with this broken system and letting the money go where it goes to special interests and private companies and investors. And I'm not against making money. I'm not against that at all. I'm just saying there's certain areas where if you're okay with a system being for profit that's based on life and death, okay. That's the system we currently have, and it's working about as efficiently as it's going to. Meaning it's there to make money and shit on anybody that needs the help. Unless you ask five times to get something approved that should have been approved the first time, but maybe if you have enough gusto with them, they'll finally approve it. You know, it's a game. It's insane. It's utterly insane. So do I understand where Luigi Mangione's coming from? Do I understand the rage and the anger that so many people have? Without a fucking doubt. I have my own nightmares with the healthcare industry. I could go on and on about, I'm not going to bore you with, but yes. But at the same time, I can also look at Luigi Mangione and go, what a fucking twisted coward. The only thing, I mean, if Luigi Mangione looked like Richard Jewell, I don't think he'd have the same following. I don't think he'd have the same amount of women going, oh, he's dreamy. I mean, if you look like John Candy, are you going to have the same? This is kind of a perfect storm of anger directed in a place that a lot of people have anger for good reasons, and then mixed with the lowest common denominator of shit that people get excited about, like vanity and looks. And you have Luigi Mangione. Came from a Maryland family. With a degree from the University of Pennsylvania. Again, coming up, given all the things that so many young people would be so desperate to get, so grateful to have, and his ego and grandiosity, he believed his own shit. That's the thing. Is there something probably mentally wrong with Luigi Mangione? Yes, without a doubt. There's probably a personality disorder at play. And by the way, he was never a United Healthcare customer either. So it's like, if you're going to, not saying you should ever do any of this, but if you're going to pick a target, like, and say it's personally affecting you, I don't know, picking a target that actually personally affected you might be a good idea. Unless you're just so grandiose that you think anything you do, people are going to look at and go, wow, isn't he just a remarkable little boy? I'm sure Rufus in cell block 5H will be looking at you going, wow, isn't he a remarkable little boy? Come here, Luigi, put that wig back on. He started planning weeks in advance. Prosecutors say his notebook described the investor conference as a true windfall and laid out his intent to whack a CEO. A Penn graduate writing the word whack in a spiral notebook like he's auditioning for a mob movie. It's grandiosity. It's ego, grandiosity, narcissism all at play. And he's a big old, I mean, just look, this is, you can just tell. Look at his face. He then took a bus to New York on November 24th, the 24th, checked into a hotel in the Upper West Side under the name Mark Rosario and used a forged New Jersey ID. A kid from a wealthy family sleeping in a hostel under a fake name, playing assassin. On the morning of December 4th, he positioned himself outside the New York Hilton in Midtown before dawn. He hid that 3D printed gun in his jacket and had slogans etched on the ammunition. Brian Thompson was walking alone towards the hotel. He'd arrived early for the conference, and then Mangione shot him from behind on the sidewalk as Thompson approached the entrance. The words on the bullet casings were deny, depose, delay. a slogan, not a policy paper. Police say he fled on foot. 5 days later, he was arrested at a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania, after an employee recognized him from the news. In his backpack, in his, you know, genius getaway, was the 3D printed ghost gun, fake IDs, and a notebook. The revolution ended over a hash brown. At a court hearing in February 26, Mangione shouted on his way out of the courtroom, "One plus one is two, double jeopardy. By any common sense definition," he was already advertising the play. The charges he pled guilty to are two federal stalking counts, specifically interstate stalking resulting in death, not murder. The federal murder and firearms charge were thrown out in January 26 by Judge Margaret Garnett. She ruled those charges didn't qualify as crimes of violence under federal law. That took the death penalty off the table. Prosecutors chose not to appeal. What remained were two stalking counts, each carrying a maximum sentence of life in prison. I apologize for the sniffling. Allergy season's in full effect. The judge told Mangione the federal sentencing guidelines suggest 24 to 30 years, but that she isn't bound by them. The U.S. Attorney's Office is seeking life. Sentencing is now December 18th, right before Christmas. We will find out just how long Luigi Mangione will be going away. The plea wasn't about accepting punishment. Within hours, his lawyers filed a motion to dismiss the entire state case. New York has a strict double jeopardy law. If the feds resolve the case first, the state can't come back and try you again for the same killing. A guilty plea counts as resolution. Mangione's remaining state charges are second-degree murder, carrying 25 to life. The terrorism charges were already tossed in September of 25 because a judge ruled that killing someone for ideological reasons doesn't automatically make it terrorism under New York law. I know. How ironic, being New York law, considering where 9/11 happened, where it was terrorist reasons for ideological purpose. Yeah. Anyway, far be it from me to say, what the fuck are you doing? Trial on the murder charge is set for September 8th. Before Justice Gregory Caro, the defense argues a federal plea bars the state from going forward. Manhattan's DA's office says they'll fight it in June. His lawyers announced they'd pursue a psychiatric defense in the state case. They reversed course a day later. The guilty plea wasn't coincidence. The anger that followed Thompson's killing was real. It came from people who've been fighting their own insurers for years. The industry has earned that anger, as I was saying. Brian did not deserve a bullet on a sidewalk in front of a conference. There is a difference. United Healthcare denied roughly one third of the claims people submitted. One out of every three times someone asked for the coverage they were already paying for, the answer was no. A congressional investigation found the company wasn't even using doctors to make those calls. They built an AI algorithm called NH Predict that estimated how long a patient should stay in a nursing facility based on data from other patients, not the clinical judgment of an actual treating doctor. The denial rate for post-acute care climbed from under 9% in 2019 to 23% by 2022. A June 26 HHS Inspector General report found UnitedHealthcare, CVS Health, and Humana had the highest Medicare Advantage denial rates in the country. Some plans rejected prior authorization requests more than 70% of the time. Prior authorization is the process where an insurer has to approve your care before you can get it. Fewer than 12% of denied requests were even appealed. That's the game. We're going to say no and hope you don't do anything because it's complicated and you might be too lazy, and we're going to deny and we're going to rely on that. Or maybe you're just confused because you're already in a health crisis. So if we ask you to do a little more paperwork or file an appeal, that might be a bridge too far that we'll never have to cover you. And maybe you'll just die over here and then we don't have to pay for anything. Yeah, works out for everybody, right? Yeah. That's essentially how our healthcare system works in the United States. If you're watching on another island out there in the world or continent, it's fucking lovely. It's great. It's just so dandy. An analysis of federal data showed that nearly 82% of the denials that were appealed got partially or fully overturned. So they deny going in, knowing we're probably going to have to correct this if they really push us, but we're going to rely on you not pushing us. And more times than not, people don't push us. So this is our process, just outright denial for really no reason other than you might save us some money in the long term. That's my conjecture on this. Is it exactly how it works? Yeah, I'm sure they could probably try and argue that in court. But that's essentially, from a consumer standpoint, how this tends to work. 4 to 5 times the initial denial was wrong. The system isn't making mistakes. It's making bets that you won't fight back. In June of 25, nearly 50 insurers signed a voluntary pledge to streamline prior authorization. Nobody made them. Nobody enforced it. The same kind of promise the industry has made before. 12 months later, the HHS Inspector General report showed the same companies with the highest denial rates in the country. Nothing changed. UnitedHealthcare's parent company responded to the public anger, not with reform, but with a defamation law firm. They hired Claire Locke, the same firm that represented the Dominion voting systems, in a $787 million settlement against Fox News. They used it to go after the Texas plastic surgeon who'd been posting about denied claims on social media. The industry didn't change its business model. It upgraded its legal team. Mangione wasn't even their customer. The system he claimed to be fighting registered the PR problem and called a lawyer. Brian Thompson was 50 years old. He had a wife named Paulette and 2 sons who were in high school when he was killed. He'd worked at United Health Group for 20 years. He was walking to work. And by the way, he worked his way up from like nothing. This wasn't a silver spoon in his mouth. Hey, here's the top job at dad's company. No, this is someone who worked his way up. He wasn't like Luigi Mangione, where Luigi had everything handed to him. So the man, the entitled man who had everything handed to him, went to the guy who worked his way up to the top of a company and said, I know better than you. You need to die. All those things are not okay, obviously, with the healthcare company. But assassinating the employees out in front of the buildings at a conference ain't the way to solve it. Start voting for the right people. Start paying attention to what's going on in your world. Because paying attention to idiots like this and cheering them on may make you feel good in the moment. It does nothing to move the needle or help us get anywhere in terms of progress with the brokenness of our healthcare system. In fact, I'm sure the healthcare system actually loves this shit because all the anger, it goes over to him. And it kind of moves a little bit off of them. And it becomes a sideshow that doesn't end up having a conversation about how broken the system is. It ends up debating the morality of Luigi Mangione. It's a good job, Luigi. You got the attention put onto you, the little narcissistic piece of shit that you are. Again, Bruno and Selbach 8H is excited for your little boy ass to make it into the gates of prison. They're not going to be looking at you as the hero you think you are. His wife sat in the front row of a federal courtroom. Brian Thompson's wife. And wiped away tears while the man who shot her husband described the killing without remorse. Mangione talked about his broken back and the obstacles of the health insurance system. He said he knew what he's doing was illegal. He never spoke about Brian Thompson as a father, a husband, or a human being, just the man he shot. Thompson's family released a statement calling the plea an important step towards justice, and said nothing will erase the pain of losing him. They asked the court to ensure sentencing reflects the severity of his crime. It's a family reaching for the minimum 20 months after someone decided their father's life was worth less than a slogan in a bullet casing. United Healthcare executives sat on the row behind Thompson's family. Paulette Thompson walked out of a federal courthouse past stickers plastered on a pole outside the remnants of a fan base that confused a killing with a cause. The insurance industry denied claims before December 4th, 2024. It denies them after Luigi Mangione's guilty plea. The voluntary pledges produced no measurable reform. The denial rates that enraged millions of Americans are functionally unchanged. The health insurance system in this country needs to be dismantled and rebuilt. That was true before the shooting, and it's true now. You do that from a ballot box in a courtroom with organized pressure that makes it impossible to ignore. You don't do it with a printed gun, etched slogans on ammunition, stalking a man to a hotel and shooting him in the back on the sidewalk before dawn. That you plan weeks before, believing that your grandiose crime is going to change the world. It won't. It didn't. And you're just as unremarkable as you were before, Luigi. He's maneuvering between two courtrooms over which jurisdiction gets to sentence him. Well, the system he targeted runs exactly the way it did the day before he pulled the trigger. Brian Thompson's sons are finishing high school without their father. The insurance companies are still standing, and Luigi Mangione will spend the rest of his life learning what his own words actually cost. Your thoughts in the comments section.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Okay, let's go over to another case now. Luigi Mangione pled guilty in federal court the other day. No deal, no agreement with prosecutors, just an open plea to two stalking charges after admitting he shot and killed United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. His defense team immediately filed to kill the state murder case on double jeopardy grounds. Jennifer Coffendaffer is with us, retired FBI special agent. Want to break into where this goes from here. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, is also with us as always. So he's in court the other day, standing there in federal court, telling the judge flat out he shot Brian Thompson in the back and killed him. The charge he pled guilty to, however, is stalking. The federal murder charge was dismissed back in January. He confessed to murder and got convicted of stalking. Kind of rubs me the wrong way. Now, I'll say this. I have plenty of hatred for the medical system, of it being just shitty. But again, never is this the solution to go and gun down its staff in front of a conference room. Jen, what's your thoughts here? The stalking charges versus the murder charges when he flat out says, I did it.
Well, you know, this is so interesting to me because, of course, in this broke months ago. That he was going to plead to the federal stuff. No. And then all of a sudden, everybody's so surprised that he fed to. And this was something he absolutely should have done. Because now he's going to get federal time. He's not going to get state time. And from my point of view, he was always going to do this because I think the person he was trying to follow in their footsteps was Ted Kaczynski. And Ted Kaczynski pled guilty, stayed with his, psychotic thoughts.
Of course.
and so Luigi Mangione was going to do, he did it with a smile on his face. He still doesn't see what he did was wrong because, he doesn't. So I'm not at all surprised as far as the stalking versus the murder, that's all he could plead to on the table. It still is going to be life in prison. Hopefully that's what he should get. That's what the understanding and from what I've seen that he's going to get. And then this gets him off of facing the New York charges because he's already said he's guilty of this. Yeah. So that case should be dropped and but I don't know if it will, but it should be.
Yeah, I don't have anything on this one. I just think this guy just so pisses me off, because getting a following for the so-called social justice warrior, I've said this with this case so many times, this is a narcissist looking for attention that got around of a bunch of his buddies out in Hawaii that egged him on, say, hey, man, you ought to go do this, all because you got some back pain, you know, so go kill someone. That's a great solution, you know. And yeah, Ted Kaczynski, absolutely right. The only difference was Ted Kaczynski was a nutter like this guy, except he actually had three marbles rolling around instead of half of one like Mangione.
It's interesting as we've learned more about what he was doing, basically lying in wait to a certain extent, emailed United Healthcare posing as an investor, managing more than $50 billion, just to get the exact location of the conference. The company apparently wrote back within an hour, and here you go, here's where it is. There's certainly some planning involved. I guess I'm a little bit surprised at just how quickly they're going to give out the information of this, but I don't know, maybe it's not that secure of an event where they're, you know, it's not that big of a state secret, if you will. And if you have investment into the company, you have a way to get in. I don't know the answer to that question, but it certainly does show planning. He knew what he was going to do. This wasn't a psychotic break one morning where he's just in New York and, hey, I think I'm going to go do this. What does that tell you about who he is, the way that he planned this?
Well, again, when you really dive deep into his writings, Luigi, from early on, this was a kid who went Ivy League. He comes out, he gets a job, and he's having trouble working. Like, he hates to work. Mm-hmm. So what does he do? He quits working, and then he goes on a trust fund bender all over the world, having a great time on the money. And then he decides, I think, all right, there's no way for me to be famous, like I'm sure many people thought I might achieve, since he was such a huge achiever. So I'm going to be infamous. I'm going to make this point. Yes, he had back surgery. It was, I think, 2 years or something before he committed this crime. He had stellar care. He's from a multi-gazillion dollar family. I think that was all rubbish. I think it was some way to be infamous when you can't be famous. It's way easier.
100% agree, Jen. And, you know, it's nice to have a case like this. I agree. Horrible that someone had to die, obviously, because of the narcissistic little baby boy that had no guardrails in life. And so true. His parents could have written a check for his medical procedures. So it wasn't because he was in pain because he couldn't get medical care. You know, I'm still dumbfounded, although not really, because the way society is, that he has such a massive following of people saying this was a righteous kill. You know, when you look at the stats, you know, it's why things like this prove the low, extremely low intellect, extremely low social capital that people understand in the world. Because so many people say social justice warrior, there hasn't been one effective social justice warrior in the history of our species that this method worked ever. You know, because if you want to look at the greatest, you go back to Nelson Mandela, you go to Martin Luther King, you go to Gandhi, all the big ones. This wasn't it at all, not even close. So why else do it? Celebrity, just like you said, he was the big man on campus the entire time, his entire life. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And all of a sudden, no one's looking at him. So I got to get looking at me.
And can I add to it real quick? And I know Tony probably wants to chime in. I'm sorry, really quick before I forget this thought. The biggest way I knew this was so ridiculous that he was trying to make social change was when he didn't go with a public defender. Used millions. It was so hypocritical. Oh, you're for the little guy. Oh, you're for the man who can't get health care. And then you use your millions to get the best there is for your defender. Yeah, it stunk.
That's a great point. That's a very good point.
Yeah, I mean, he's the epitome of clueless, entitled, grandiose young narcissist that, you know, so many young people are. And you don't necessarily have to come from money to be that, but he did, and it just shows the level of the narcissism there, because this is someone who I'm going to guess has already always had a level of grandioseness about him, was probably told he was just, you know, the best thing ever, the bee's knees from birth. And the idea of not being that is probably not only like not acceptable to him, but not, not even palatable, not even something that he can live within the confines of. How do you think he's thinking about himself now, Jen, behind bars, now that he's pleading guilty? Is this how you think he thought it was going to go when he pulled that trigger? Or where do you think, ideally, the grandiose mind of Luigi Mangione was when he was out on that sidewalk in New York City that December morning?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised to see something along the Koberger situation. You know, yeah. In other words, the letdown is going to come when he's getting, you know, screamed at through the toilet bowl and he can't get enough of the, you know, hooch coming in hot. And, you know, the women, well, they're going to keep coming in, you know, the letters, but whatever. When it kind of fades, I could kind of see him saying, whoa, my... You know, I wasn't told, you know, legally my lawyers didn't do a good job. I wouldn't be surprised to see that. Now, one other thing, that isn't this so paradoxical that the person he decided to shoot in the back was really the person that he's supposed to be fighting for from this aspect? This guy raised in Iowa.
Yeah.
No money. Worked his rear off. Went to a state school. Had two kids, just like the ultimate, talk about achiever that came from nothing.
Yes.
And here Luigi could have become CEO in a heart rate, I think. I mean, he had a great education, valedictorian at Ivy, had all the money behind him, all the influence. He could have been that, but he didn't like to work.
Who was actually privileged and who wasn't? I mean,
exactly.
He killed the guy who wasn't privileged, yeah. And as a privileged kid, claiming he was, I mean, just a friggin' insanity.
What a non exciting end to this case, non grandiose end to the case. Quite honestly, we're not going to have the big dramatic trial. I guess at the end of the day, why do you think he's pleading? Why not go all the way? Why not do your trial? What is this? Is he getting cold feet? Is he thinking that I'm really surprised, because this would be the moment that a narcissist is going to shine in his mind when he's got the stage set for him. He's actively saying, close the curtain. We're not even doing dress rehearsal.
Because he's not a warrior. He's a coward. Sorry, Jen, go ahead.
Yes. Well, you said it well. And I think when you look at this, when they did all that, you know, everything the New York State did to get the trial there first. Remember, it was supposed to go Fed mm-hmm. first.
Yeah.
And they changed everything and made it New York. I can just see them going, whoa, this is terrible. Because now, if he was convicted on the state charges, he is literally going to a New York state pen. That isn't what he wants. He wants a club Fed. And even though this is a serious violation for, and I don't know how much time you spent, Robin, in these federal facilities. I spent a lot of time there. And I'm going to tell you how it is. It'll make you sick. There's going to be baseball leagues planting flowers. Everybody's going to get cable TV, Hulu, and everything else in their rooms, a full library, so much freedom. It's unbelievable. Very sanitary and decent food.
So that was my question that was coming up for me was, so how does general population look for him behind bars? That's that?
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
But I don't know if he'll want to go to solitary. Somebody's going to want to make a name for themselves and whack him.
Yeah.
Not because they care about Luigi Mangione, but because
notoriety.
They're serving life.
Yeah. They want the clout. Yeah.
They want the clout. So I think he's going to be in jeopardy, but a lot less jeopardy than in the New York pen. Hmm.
So it's all about what's going to be most advantageous for him, and that's really what's spurring the decision of of what he wants to do for now. Well, that makes it, it makes more sense. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in right there.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm gonna be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack, craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm gonna be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.